little Radio Gaga there, TJ. Nice. Good touch there. Theme Music Friday, going with some Queen. And, of course, TJ, executive producer, also becomes your DJ for the day, too. 402-573-0590. All right, the question we got out there. If you were dating the 2019 Nebraska football team, would you have dumped them by now, or are you sticking with them? Michael Bruns, Husker 24-7 Sports. Bruncey, I mean, can you make a case on why to maybe get out of that relationship if you're dating Nebraska right now?
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on if you've gone through a string of relationships with past Nebraska teams and you've been hurt maybe by the, you know, 2017 team.
Yeah.
The 2012 team, maybe. You know, you feel like they finally turned a corner. Exciting things are happening, and then they disappoint you again. I think you can probably make a case for a breakup, but I don't know. I think, you know, as somebody dating this team, I mean, maybe you think you can change them.
Right,
maybe
that's what I said earlier. Yeah, it's a project.
Maybe yeah, it's you know, just gotta dress a little nicer. You know, work on a few things,
yeah.
And you know, it might be worth the investment.
It's like you continue to yearn. You're just like, come on, please. I just need a cuddle once. Quit going out with your friends. Just give me one night of alone time. Come on.
And it's because your dad's the 95 Huskers and you want to date somebody just like your dad, right?
That's the perfect way to describe it right there. Yeah, it's all good. And it's funny because there's so many angles. I use this one today, but everybody's been kind of just talking about the doom and gloom this time around for the bye week compared to even 3 weeks ago when Nebraska got beat up pretty good by Minnesota. But I feel like there was hope, Bruncey, that with those two games before the next bye week, you could still get to bowl eligibility. You could still feel pretty good about that stretch run. And now Nebraska goes 0-2 in that stretch. We're not even really talking much about bowl eligibility as much as we're saying, how does this team finish the season? Like, what will it look like? I know I've said this to you many times, even more so now. Your guess is as good as mine, and maybe not even that. I feel like I know how this thing is going to go, and I don't think it's going to be good.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, when the season kind of was going to play out the way, you know, we were looking at it, or after that Minnesota game, or even going into that Minnesota game, you kind of felt like, you know, those three games were really key for Nebraska to talk bowl game, to talk good bowl game. I mean, heck, you're even kind of talking a little bit outside chance at the Big Ten West before that Minnesota game. And, you know, they didn't win those games, obviously. They looked bad at times in those games. And, you know, I think that, you know, we all kind of assume that this, you didn't want to go into this three-game stretch of November needing to win two to make a bowl game. I mean, I think Nebraska can get a win at Maryland. I think Maryland's a pretty flawed team, probably more so than Nebraska under a first-year head coach. But, you know, what Nebraska has kind of shown its issues to be, I mean, it doesn't match up well against a team like Wisconsin that's able to run the ball pretty effectively, can play good defense, and an Iowa team that typically has not beaten itself, whereas Nebraska seems to create new ways to do that. So I agree. I mean, it looks bleak, but, you know, we kind of knew that going in, that, you know, that's why you needed to take care of business at home against Indiana, or why you needed to go to Purdue and play well, or, you know, play well at Minnesota. So, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, these teams are what they are, and we knew that, and here we are with Nebraska needing to win two for a bowl game.
Bruncey, we heard this week Scott Frost, I mean, just absolutely refusing to get into big picture type things and conversations, and I know most coaches will say that whether they're 8-0 at this point or 0-8. You know, they're going to always say, hey, it's a day by day, you're trying to get better. I know a lot of that is coach speak, but I also think the overall frustration that Scott Frost has to be experiencing, I think that is really true with this team, where I think they're just literally, as a coaching staff and as a team, just going about this thing now truly day by day.
They are, and I think the other part of it, too, is you know, the big picture question invites the questions of, well, what are you going to change? You know, what you reflected on how things have gone. you know, what are you going to change for either the better, do differently, or whatever. And the reality of the situation is you know, you're not going to make big overhauls and sweeping changes in a bye week. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Nebraska practiced 3 times this week. They've got coaches out on the road. That's not the time to do it. So, you know, I do sense frustration on his part that, you know, they're 9 games into this thing, and a lot of the issues that were there in game one, game two are still there. And, you know, it's not going to be a quick fix. I think he's acknowledged that a little bit more recently, especially given Nebraska's issues the past few games. And, you know, there will be a time for those big picture questions. And he's usually addressed them too. I mean, you look at a lot of those signing day press conferences, I feel like that's kind of when he gets into it. But, you know, I don't think that there's going to be any huge change coming out there for Wisconsin, you know, that were made this week during practices.
We've heard a lot of people ask the question. You probably get asked this a lot. I know I have on social media over the last few weeks, and that is when they've talked about trying to find guys that just want to go out and do their job at the level they're going to need them to do, and it doesn't matter who they are, you know, what class they represent. I mean, it's just getting guys in there to do the right thing. Hey, we know that they are going to first and foremost try to preserve red shirts, but as far as any kind of potential change, and you mentioned you don't expect to see anything drastic, but not seeing a lot of major change, though, do you feel like sometimes that overall response from Frost and the coaching staff kind of all of a sudden sort of rings hollow because there just isn't much that they can do as far as holding players accountable and trying to bring in somebody else to sort of teach that person a lesson?
Well, I think it's a fine line, and I think that, you know, it's easier to do that if you've got somebody at a certain position you can trust to come in and do the job, you know, as well or close to as well as that person that they're replacing. And then, you know, I think about it this way, you know, Nebraska at certain spots is still, you know, pretty starved for depth, and what depth they have, it's pretty young depth. You know, in thinking about the outside linebacker spot, for example, or the inside linebacker spot. I mean, they've got young guys there. I mean, you've got a Nick Henrich at inside linebacker, or a Jackson Hanna, or somebody like that. That, you know, I just don't think that, you know, that they're ready for that spotlight and playing that many snaps to replace a veteran guy. You know, that the four-game redshirt thing has been interesting for a number of reasons. I mean, I think it's kind of up fan ire a little bit about, you know, why you're not seeing a guy like Ramir Johnson or, you know, maybe a Darian Chase or somebody like that when, you know, the results have been a little inconsistent at certain spots. But, you know, I think the flip side of that is, too, is just because a guy has 4 games, you know, that the coaching staff wants to make sure that he's ready to go in there and actually contribute. And not just put him in there because he has the 4 games. I think the staff has overthought it a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I just don't know that there's certain spots where you've got guys that, you know, are ready to go in there and pull a guy that maybe isn't playing well. So that's kind of where they're at, I guess, in year two of this rebuild. You know, I think that the depth part of it is still kind of showing itself a little bit, but you know, I think it's not as simple as just pulling a guy for playing poorly if you don't have a guy that's ready to come in there and do the job himself.
Now, are you looking at now these next 3 games, especially some of the guys that have either only played 1 game or haven't played at all as far as true freshmen, looking at some key areas and saying, okay, there is certain guys that you would like to see here in those next 3 weeks?
I think you'd like to see a little bit more of some guys, but I don't think that you're going to see, you know, the staff just going to true freshmen just to play them and get them in. I mean, I think you have to have some level of trust that guys are going to be able to perform well when they go in there. You know, a few guys that, you know, you might see a little bit more of. I mean, I thought Chris Hickman had a nice brief appearance in that Purdue game, in the small package of players that they had for him at tight end. Maybe you see him a little bit more. I think you're going to continue to kind of see guys cycle through on special teams, which they've done. I think Garrett Snodgrass was the last one that to get his first action against Purdue on special teams. Maybe Darian Chase now that he's healthy. But I just don't think that, you know, when you're trying to go out and win games, you're going to, you know, just put guys in just to get them experience. Because, you know, if they were that close to playing a lot of snaps, I feel like you would have probably seen them by now, honestly.
Most likely scenario, in your opinion, Bruntsie, the Huskers finish these next three games 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, or 0-3?
I would probably bet 1-2.
Yeah,
would be how I see it going. I mean, I think that they can handle business against Maryland, but you know, Wisconsin is still, you know, does a lot of the things that Nebraska doesn't do well. That running game is pretty scary. I'll be curious to see kind of where this team's at mentally coming out of the bye week. Because like you said earlier, I mean, I just don't know, you know, week to week what you're going to get. So I think 1-2, I think that Iowa game will end up being competitive. You know, maybe Nebraska steals that one. But I think, you know, Maryland's your most likely choice, like most likely chance for a win there. And I just think that Wisconsin game is going to be a pretty tough one for Nebraska.
My last question, is it bad that I'm more excited about the Minnesota Penn State game than I am LSU Bama tomorrow?
Why is that one?
I feel Penn State and Minnesota could be really good. I do. Hey, LSU Alabama is going to have the elite talent, best on best, and I understand that, and that's always fun. But I think that Minnesota Penn State game could be sneaky good, and it's at 11, so I can just roll right from my breakfast to that, and I'm happy.
There's a lot of decent early games. I mean, you've got, you know, Iowa Wisconsin.
I think that one's three. Iowa Wisconsin's three, I believe.
Is it three? Okay.
Yeah, I think that one's three.
Early for me, and I'm going to be covering Husker hoops in southern Utah.
Oh.
So there's that. But yeah. I think that Minnesota game is going to be quite telling about where Minnesota actually is. I think that there's still a little bit of me that thinks that they're a bit 2016 Nebraska.
Okay.
But we'll see. I think Penn State's pretty darn good too. So. Should be a good one. I agree. It feels like there hasn't really been a lot of great weekends of football games. Am I wrong?
No, and this is a great one. And they're perfectly placed. Like, you got 11 a.m., you got a couple good games there. 2:30 is the big Bama LSU game. And then, I mean, even Iowa Wisconsin at 3 is going to be intriguing. But even some of the night games, even though they're not really good, there's some decent, like Texas K-State could be okay. There are some very interesting games all throughout the day, and with having LSU Bama right smack dab in the middle, like, yeah, it makes for a perfect Saturday.
Yeah, well, and you've always got the Pac-12 Mountain West nightcap, which those are always great games to get to until 2 a.m.
Well, so. You see a lot of offense there. You're not going to see a Wisconsin Iowa, you know, 9-6 result in those games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm up at 2 a.m. watching football, I don't want to be watching a snooze fest. Give me some offense. I want that thing chucking all over the yard.
So you're covering hoops tomorrow, huh?
A little Husker hoops.
Okay. God only knows how that one's going to go.
That's pretty much the default answer nowadays. Right?
It is. This is where we are. We just got to accept it. And you know what? This is why we love our craft beer community in the state of Nebraska. Keeps us going.
It helps.
It does help. Bruntsie, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick. Take care.